It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, welcome to the BGN Radio Podcast Program. This particular episode provides many curse words. If you're in a public setting or around small children, please lower the volume or pause right now and listen at a different time. Thank you and enjoy the show.
This episode of BGN Radio is brought to you by Clipit, the hottest app that is out there. Watch TV, make clips, and share. For more information, check them out at clipit.tv or check them on Twitter at @ClipitTV.
You're listening to BGN Radio.
Eagles outside linebacker Connor Barwin joins us.
I heard you guys are the best Eagles podcast there is out there in Philly, so I'm excited to talk to you guys.
Oh, no fucking way I'm doing that. No fucking way I am opening up this show with the hooting and hollering of what's going on, Bleeding Green Nation. But hi, hello, and how are you? My name is John Barch, and of course, James Eltzer along with us. It is episode 209. Once again, back before I start yelling and screaming, I want to introduce the most beautiful man in radio, Mr. John Marks. What's happening, buddy?
Oh, hi. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. And of course, as always, John is appearing as a guest. We are not paying him. He's just here for the fun and giggles and maybe even some arguing today. I don't know what's going to happen. I tell you what is going to happen. It is time to have a talk with everybody in this town. Me, everybody that's in here, especially you guys today. It is unbelievable to me that we have reached the point. Well, first of all, let's get to Doug. Doug, when a team is 3-7-1, your football team can't look like that. I don't care how bad the talent is. I don't care if you're, you know, grandma's sick. I don't give a shit what's happening. You don't go into Cincinnati and look like that. You don't go in there and only put up 0 points in a first half with a rookie quarterback, with Paul Turner, with everybody out there. I know it's tough. Trust me. I'm going to dive right back in and probably save you from some of this mess in a little bit. But you can't do that. That was abysmal, and that was atrocious. Jim Schwartz, same thing. What the fuck, man? Change something. Do something different when the philosophies of what you practice and preach aren't working. When your cornerbacks go off and they're playing off coverage against guys like fucking Brandon LaFell, we have a serious problem there. Tell them to press. I don't give a shit if they're going to get beat. Maybe jam them off the line, and that helps you in some different regard, but that didn't happen. Again, and they steamrolled it. Everybody looked, this, it looked like a goddamn Super Bowl team going up against this squad. And it's unbelievable to me that happened. Thirdly, the fans. Shut the fuck up. Good Lord, what the takes in firing Doug Peterson. You need to hear this shit. You need to hear this at some point. Open your ears. We demanded this in Philadelphia in the offseason. We demanded a slow-paced, time of possession, boring offense with defensive capabilities on the other side of the ball. We asked for this. So allow at least a year goes by before you start talking about firing Doug Peterson. Allow a rookie quarterback who just threw 60 passes, which is seventh most in NFL history, a little leeway. All right? There's mechanical issues. There's things that are there. Yeah. They were all there before. These were things that were all there before the draft, and he is the only player on offense to do anything. That's it. That's where I'm at, James. It's just, incredibly frustrating to kind of go through and do all these different things, but everything just sucks. Everything sucks.
Fire Doug Peterson.
After all that.
Look, I said as well, I think you have to give him more than just a year, but I will say, and I'm sorry, I don't think he's a good head coach. If I had to bet my life one way or the other, is Doug Peterson going to be a successful head coach or not? I would bet on no. That's where I'm at right now with him, but I do agree that it's too quick to axe him. It's ridiculous to even talk about it. You can't bring a guy in and give him literally the worst group of skill players in the NFL. I mean, what they rolled out there today might be the worst group of skill players I've ever seen on an NFL roster, you know, considering Jordan Matthews being out. I mean, it was...
Yeah, what, two UDFAs, Nelson Agholor, and
I mean, when
what?
Tyler Boyd and Brandon LaFell are light years better than anything you got on your side, I mean, it was just... It was a pathetic performance, but I think it also highlighted the fact that this team is just not very good, and whatever happened before doesn't matter. They're just not good.
John, where are you at with this thing? Because I know you'll probably be a lot calmer than me this evening.
Well, Doug said in his press conference on Monday, the final five games will tell him a lot about the Eagles players and coaches, et cetera. And he comes out and he lets the Bengals score on their first six possessions. They're down 29-0. And then, oh boy, I get to see the Zach Ertz show in the fourth quarter where he compiles his stats. Like, if you look at Zach Ertz's stats over last year, the year before, so, well, that's pretty good. It's because this is when he compiles his stats. You know, if I was to use one word, it'd be discouraging at this point with everything involved. And it's not time to talk about firing Doug Peterson because, like James said, this roster doesn't have enough talent. We've been saying it for weeks, but I will say this. There's still four games left, so I reserve my right to change my
yes!
mind.
Yes!
Because, listen, this is the, guys, this is the Seinfeld backwards episode in real life in Philadelphia. They started the season the way they were supposed to end the season. Carson Wentz looks like the rookie in week one, not the player in week 13. It's unbelievable. I literally can't believe it.
Yeah, and it's just it's nuts. And this is, I mean, most of that is probably why Doug did want to sit him down and so he could focus on those mechanics or whatever. I mean, I don't really buy that either. I think Wentz is going to have far more value of what he's seeing and how his mechanics are working in an actual NFL game. I understand that. You can't hide a lot of those things either, like a lot of different rookies that have success that come in here when there is nothing out there. You can't hide those flaws. The fact that he throws side, that is a thing. It's time you can definitely criticize Carson Wentz here too, but again, keep this all in perspective. Like, he played terribly today. Awful, like,
yeah,
missing short, missing long, missing high, even wide open throws. The DGB was wide open on I can't even remember what quarter it was because who cares? But you know, there was missing.
It might have been the
missing
fourth.
High and missing
I wasn't
wide.
Watching
yeah,
by
who
that.
Knows?
I wasn't watching by the fourth.
We
so
all turned it off.
Then.
I didn't even see the Darren Sproles touchdown because I was so disinterested.
You know, it was much better. The episode of Black Mirror I decided to watch when I decided to stop watching the game. I mean, geez, Louise. But you're right. I mean, Wentz looked. This is
he looked
like,
bad,
like
man.
John said. Like, this was his worst performance as a pro, and that I'm not. It doesn't worry me. I mean, but it concerns me a slight bit. But I mean, it just comes back to what's around him. And I mean, look, the worst performance we've seen from the O-line since the Big V. The inaugural Big V experience. But it was just, man. It was Like John, I think John's word is perfect. You know, it was discouraging. It was really like I said when we did the show on Saturday on WIP, I argued and I wanted to argue that the season was over because I believed this season was over. I didn't believe it was so in the toilet, you know, with the shit essentially that we saw today.
Yeah, especially this. Like you were like, okay, well, you know, Green Bay, they didn't really check out. But the Bengals are supposed to be like done, way done.
Not, they are done. I mean, they're done.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And this kind of thing happens. You know, like they were
with no AJ Green and no Gio Bernard and no, like, it's like outrageous.
With a team that decided it would be cool to throw a fucking pass to their backup left tackle. You know, like just for shits and giggles. Like, oh, yeah, this will be great. And then you're just thinking, they're like, oh my God.
It's like Rex Burkhead. Nobody knows who the fuck Rex Burkhead is.
Yeah.
And he's
Yes, and
slashing
he's wrecking
apart
shit.
The Eagles.
Oh,
yeah.
Look, a white fullback that's fucking tearing up the Eagles' defense.
From
that's
Nebraska,
awesome.
Of course the dude is Nebraskan. Like, that's just, it's the perfect little.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, the funny thing about all of the Doug Peterson, and I get it, and John, you probably feel this way too, is just like they hear him talk, and it was awful today. Like, you just hear all the different phrases and words all mixed and matched. It was like, I don't even know what to describe it. It was like, what's the word
like
I'm looking
it's
for?
Like, well, I was going to say your hodgepodge. I was thinking like a cliche bomb.
But
just
there
went
it is.
Off. It's cliche after cliche after cliche. It's
but
like,
they were all mixed and matched, yeah. And they didn't make sense. You're just like, individually, we're going to work out together, and we're going to take that individually thing. And it was just like, I don't even know what you're saying anymore. And they hear this, and then they hear Jim Schwartz talk, and they immediately think that Doug Peterson's dumb and he can't coach football, you know? I think the actions speak more than the words do, but I don't know, man. Like, this is – it gets to the point where just, like, maybe just – I don't see the point in firing or having that feeling. You know, I don't understand it. If your mentality coming into this was, well, it's going to be a bad football team anyway. They don't have enough horses. There's a long way to go. You can't fix this thing in one off season to, oh, my God, it's 5-7 and get rid of this thing. Move on.
Right. Yeah, I think that the one, like when I say discouraging, they were winning games. Now, at some point, they don't have enough talent, and this is what's going to happen, but it shouldn't happen like this. Like, you just shouldn't fall off the cliff. There should be at least some type of a decline, and there really wasn't. They just were done. I mean, they were still – they almost beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys have one loss. They almost beat – they should have beat the Cowboys.
They took them to overtime, and they should have won the game.
There were a couple games that they could have won in Detroit. I mean, there were a lot of games. The real worry is that the league adjusted to Carson Wentz and adjusted to Doug Peterson. And you can understand a rookie quarterback maybe not having an answer, but a head coach, like, it'd be easy for Doug Peterson the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, being in the NFL and coaching in the NFL, for him to know what he's doing with that. This is a chess match, guys. Defensive coordinators get paid a lot of money to try to solve you. They solved him, and he has no answer. That's what's most concerning.
But what is the answer?
That's a great point,
what
though.
Is the answer? That's where I keep getting
what
hung
do you
up
mean,
on.
What is
what's the answer?
Answer?
What do you do differently then?
Well, the answer is you need more talent.
Yeah.
And they don't have
it. Then how can you blame that on the coach?
You
then?
Can
that's all. What
you know what you could do? You know what you could do?
Fire him.
Yeah, I agree. And I said I'm not going to fire him, but you know what you could do is you could not run the ball like 10 to 15 times a game and have your rookie quarterback throw anywhere from 45 to 60.
No points on the board.
Dude, come on, though. Like, I'm not saying just today. This has been a problem for the last month and a half. And every week, Doug's like, got to run the ball better. Oh, what's the best thing you can do to help Carson Wentz? I got to run the fucking ball. And then he doesn't run the fucking ball. Like, I understand.
Because they're down, James.
Dude, they were down
they're
13
down.
To nothing in the first half. They were down 13 to nothing. You
yes.
can still run the football at 13 to nothing. Especially when you have zero receivers to throw to. You can't argue. I'm not saying that when you're down 29 to nothing or whatever that
Wendell you know, Smallwood, 3 yard loss, 12 in the second and
got,
13.
I'm
you
sorry,
can't run
you
the ball again.
You gotta commit a little bit. He bails too fast. He does. He did it last week. He did it the week before. This is not off of this game. This is a thing that we have seen that this guy keeps saying that he is gonna run the football or at least even attempt to run the football, and he hasn't done it, man. Like, he hasn't.
But
He has not done it.
To what extent though? Like, that's what I'm saying. You don't even have Ryan Matthews back there. You want Wendell Smallwood to make
yes.
Make
Wendell
sure
Smallwood's so better than Paul Turner and fucking DGB and Nelson Agholor and those guys going out for passes. Sure, I'd rather give Wendell Smallwood a chance
not,
to move the football.
You can't have him throw 60, but you can't like it's a ridiculous argument when they're down 29 to nothing.
I'm not talking
or they're down whatever, and the defense keeps getting blown away and blown
I'm
away, and we're sitting here talking about the goddamn offense. We know it sucks. We know it is.
But
the defense has to help them out.
You can't say it's all the defense's fault.
Like, it's more the defense's fault than it is
today
the offense.
It was.
It has
today
been for the last
was,
couple of weeks.
Today it was.
Today, but the point is the offense still sucks. Like, it does. You can't absolve
but
the
it's
offense.
Talent. There's so what do? You run the football 30 times a game and say, okay, good luck. Here we go.
You could at least attempt to see if you can move the football on the ground. You got to do something to help your rookie quarterback. You can't keep putting Wentz in these situations, no matter what it is. You have to do something to help the kid.
John, don't you think we'd be flipping out right now if he decided, you know what, I'm just going to stick with the run and go, whatever, 5 and out on the next couple of plays? They don't come away with points, and then Cincinnati scores again anyway?
Today, I think it's a separate entity to what James is talking about. Like, there's definitely been weeks in the past where it's like, listen, man, you got to protect your quarterback. Plus, you got to be able to run the football. The shape of the offensive line, they weren't blocking for anybody today. Alan Barbary had a horrendous first half.
Yeah, Jesus,
you have backups
yeah,
in there.
Awful.
You essentially have a third string, a couple third stringers in there, or a third stringer in there. Today, you just couldn't run the football. So you can say, yeah, let's run the ball. There's only so many times you can run the ball and don't not have success to where it's like, all right, we have to try to throw it. And that's what he did today. I mean, there are so many leaks on this team, and you only have so much duct tape. And right now you have a rookie running back, and you have Darren Sproles, and you have no wide receivers, and you have backup offensive linemen, and you have a rookie quarterback who's really struggling, and you have a head coach who doesn't have answers. And it's ugly, guys.
Yeah, it's really ugly. And the other thing, and look, I'm not saying that, like John said, obviously today you're down 29-0. You're not going to try and pound the football. But I'm saying philosophically what we've seen from Peterson has not seemed to adjust, but more so what you rip Peterson for today, and I see you rip Schwartz too, but that team didn't come ready to play in a game where theoretically their season was theoretically on the line, even if, you know,
again
they didn't show up, they didn't execute, you know, to use the old buzzword there, they didn't execute at all. I mean, that was a pathetic performance, and you have to put some of that on Doug Peterson. No matter how little talent he has,
we have seen head coaches
take little talent and get those guys to play up, you know? I mean, you know who we need? We need a Rod Marinelli in here to coach this team up.
But what bugs the shit out of me is that we're saying the same things about Doug Peterson as you said about Chip Kelly. This losing the locker room bullshit needs to go rather quickly. As I went and sat down and talked to Jamal Jackson and talked to Klecko, and I was sitting, I said, what actually physically determines when you lose a goddamn locker room? Because I'm tired of hearing it. For the second year in a row, you're hearing this thing over and over again and deflecting and doing all this stuff. You know what they said? When players come out into the media and say, why aren't they getting more playing time? Or like, if they just throw to me more, we would win more games. That's when you've lost the locker room. Up until then, it doesn't matter. And secondly, there are so many different counterparts, again, moving into a room where you haven't been together for a long time. There are guys from literally everywhere. Jim Schwartz is coming from a year off from God knows where in Detroit and Buffalo, and hell, you've been through some of those locker rooms, and they're quite disgusting with fucking assholes that run throughout that same. You have Jason Peters, who's been running the locker room, I'd say, for the last 2 or 3 years, and probably influencing your owner and everybody else that's going through there. Then you have Doug Peterson coming from Kansas City, Frank Reich coming from San Diego, 70 billion people that have never been in a locker room together, and you're expecting them to be together in 11 fucking games. Relax with that, okay? It takes time to develop a team and to get it going. Not after 12 games, not after free agents, not after ripping apart talent over and over and over and over again, and you guys want to do the same goddamn thing for a third year in a row. Give him 18 to 20 games before you even come to that, you dumb motherfuckers. I'm tired of hearing about it. Stop. It's not going to fix the football team by ripping it apart every year. The answer to being a better coach is not to have Tom Brady. I just let it go. God damn it. Like, I'm so pissed off today and everything.
Hey, why did I not film that? My biggest mistake, maybe in my life, was to not film that, John. Let me tell you that.
Sorry, John. I'm out of breath again. But seriously, like, why do we keep repeating the same things over and over again, expecting a different change in what we're thinking here?
Yeah, it's not, you're never ever going to be like, it's a knee-jerk reaction society. We're a headline reading society. We don't actually read the story. We maybe read the first couple lines. We read the headlines, and it's the same thing with the coach. I'm half guilty of it too. Doug Peterson, after three games, I was saying, like, wow, now that's a pro style coach. That's a guy that knows the NFL. Yeah. And you know what? Now you could say the exact opposite.
Yes, exactly.
Now we want him fired. So it's like, that's what we do as fans. But it's tough because you see a team out there. John, you said it, and it's really something that we should have talked about from the start, was that his team, and he's the head coach, didn't come to play today from the start. You go into a stadium, not that their playoff life was on the line, because we knew that they weren't going on the playoffs, but you go into another team's stadium and they're 3-7-1, and you come out and you go down 29-0. Not just 29-0, they made it easy going down 29-0. And then I got to watch the second half and watch them pile up garbage yards in the third and fourth quarter. And it's just tough to watch. I think that's why you blame and you look at the coach and say, wow, I don't know. You got to get guys to play. And it's about talent in this league. And we know that it is. But again, discouraging. Everything you're seeing right now is very discouraging.
Yeah, especially after speaking about, and John, you had mentioned it before, where Doug Peterson comes out and says, I'm going to see who's manning up. who's going to step up and who's going to be here.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then nobody fucking steps up. Like,
nobody.
That's what scares me. That's an indictment in my mind of their head coach. That's people saying, ah, fuck this guy. I'm not, you know, I don't have to step up for him, at least internally. I'm not saying they're, you know, having those conversations, but I mean, look, that's the kind of stuff that worries me, that just the overall sloppiness, the overall lack of cohesion with this team. And it was a really disheartening performance today, especially like John said, it was 29-0 like that. And it should have been more.
Oh, yeah.
It should have been way more.
I mean, Wentz had like 6 dropped interceptions today to go along with the, what, 3 he had? I didn't watch most of the fourth quarter.
And the worst part, they actually were in the game.
Yeah,
he doesn't keep throwing interceptions. They had a chance to win the game.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy to me. That Vontaze Burfict interception just right after all that madness happened.
That
just
was
like,
the one where I was
because
like,
of
right,
course, I'll because of course, that was like, oh, it's time to go to draft breakdown because I'm ready for the draft. Actually, I was ready for that in the freaking after the second possession. Here's where I'll slightly disagree with both of you, because I do agree it is heavily on that coach, and that definitely reflects it. However, we've been protecting a lot of these players, a lot. Jason Peters, we protect a lot. You know, Fletcher Cox, Vinny Curry, all these guys. At what point do you just say, you know what? Maybe they don't have the right football players, because this team was not good enough before Chip Kelly got here. I want to remind everybody of that. It got worse. I'm not disagreeing with that. It got worse.
Well, it got better, but then it got worse.
Yeah, it got better, then it got. But it was bad before he got here. All right. Now when you're looking back at all those things where we were staunchly defending Michael Kendricks, all those guys from that draft class that came in. You know, I understand. Look, I don't even want to get into the Deshaun Jackson rumor at this point. But, you know, the fact that that's out there hanging out in the air, and that got everybody excited. Look, these guys, Jeremy Maclin, all those, I'm including everybody, LeSean McCoy, I'm excluding you because you're fucking balling out like crazy again. All those guys weren't good enough to begin with. Okay? So, and we haven't admitted that as a fan base either, because we have put them up on pedestals like gods. And they were good players. And it really did work here. But at the same time, John, these guys weren't good enough to win anything. They haven't seen sniffed a playoffs in almost, what are we on, 6 years then? 2010 was the last time?
Yep.
One and done on a magical lightning bottle run. And ever since then, these players have not been really. Oh, sorry.
No,
Chip,
I was saying
Saints.
The
what
Saints.
Am I thinking?
I'm sitting there. I'm like, wait a minute. Am
I
crazy?
Just trying to erase it from my brain so hard that I forgot about that. But
Nick Foles left the field with a lead.
That's right. The most guaranteed thing ever. But, you know, John, at what point do you just have to say these players aren't good enough to get even rebel-roused when their season's
rebel
on the line?
You know? Well, the point's right now, because you're right. I mean, it's like the one thing, if I would have been, I would have still been doing radio on Monday, I would have blown a gasket, because when Doug Peterson says that, like he was talking about, we'll see, you know, who's going to be here and who's not going to be here. But what exactly are we going to learn about a lot of players on this team? Like he's saying, this is an evaluation period, no question about it. But what are we going to learn about? What are we going to learn about Carson Wentz? Carson Wentz has got a lot of growing up to do, and he's got to figure out what's going on. So we know that. But the rest of this team, like Jason Peters, what do you need to know about Jason Peters? He's an aging left tackle that still performs at a pretty high level.
That's exactly my point.
when the Eagles go, think about this, guys, when the Eagles actually hopefully go to the Super Bowl or they become contenders, say, let's say in 3 years, how many of these guys are actually going to be here? How many of these guys are going to be here? Not many. Jason Peters probably isn't going to be here. He's going to be pretty long in the tooth. Most of these guys, most of the players that are going to be on this team, if the Eagles win a Super Bowl in 4 or 5 years, aren't here right now. So it's really tough to look at this and to really blame. Howie's got a ton of work to do. I mean, let's face it. We need wide receivers, and we need corners. We need linebackers. We need offensive line depth. They need a running back. Darren Sproles is approaching his mid-30s. I know they just signed him to another contract. The players that are going to go with Carson Wentz aren't here yet. So the rest of the season is just, oh, all right, how much more can I take? It's like, you guys, I checked out the fourth quarter,
yes.
You know?
Well, yes, and I think, and I'm not saying fire Howie Roseman. I'm saying if you have it in your mind that you want to get rid of Doug Peterson, because it's not just firing Doug Peterson. It's firing everybody at that point. There's no way that a new coach is going to come in here and be like, oh, yeah, keep the entire staff. I'll take all the Doug's guys. You're erasing everything, And you're probably erasing Jim Schwartz too, which probably I'm sure there's a lot of people that wouldn't mind that right now either. Get your John Harbaugh and whatever. There's a couple of different things that kind of go throughout.
That doesn't look like that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, John Harbaugh is going to step into a place where they fired back-to-back head coaches, and the first time head coach they fired him too.
And his Ravens showed up for him today.
Yeah, exactly. And then they freaking after all that's going on, so you can throw out the window and please to God. I mean, not that I was surprised by it, but the John Gruden phone calls came in too, and just everything else that you just randomly hear through here. But my point in all this,
Mark Helfrich is available. Yeah, I heard.
Matt Rhule is going to be the new name for all around Philadelphia.
Stop.
But if that's in your brain, I'm saying if it goes to that, then you need to fire Howie Roseman too. Because he's the one that made the decision to hire this guy. He's the one that decided that giving up control to Chip Kelly was a better idea than everything else. And he was the guy that hired Chip Kelly.
That's a good point.
So if you're going to go out and do all those things, you have to start at the top of the decision makers that put them in there in the first place, which I don't want to happen. They need horses, and it's time for Howie Roseman to once again step up to the plate and do all these things. And the only thing I'll say, John, is throughout this, and yes, there is I think there's an evaluation process with, unfortunately, with Tregs, with Turner, with those guys to see how Wentz still reacts throughout this season, whether he can learn, get those throws down. But Brandon Graham, Benny Logan, I'll even say Zach Ertz, and along with Carson Wentz, didn't quit today. That's what I saw. They kept pushing and pushing and pushing throughout the fourth quarters here.
Go ahead, Johnny.
I didn't see quit. Like, you just wonder if these guys are kind of rolling their eyes at Doug Peterson or what exactly is going on. I didn't necessarily see, like, I saw last year I saw Chip quit. I saw people quit on Chip. I just saw a team that said, I'm not playing for this prick. You know, like, not that you're consciously saying that, but just your body language is telling you you have no interest in playing for this guy anymore. And they were performing like that. Today I saw today that the first three quarters was a performance like last year's Detroit game, like last year's Tampa Bay game, where they just were flat out embarrassed. And I didn't see guys quit like that, but that's I don't know if it's just talent or what, but I mean, it's got to be something. And remember about this and I agree, you have to allow Howie a few years, and you have to allow Doug at least another year or so to try to do something. But, I mean, it's going to take time. You know, it's going to take time. And, by the way, you have a coach who, remember, they interviewed Doug Peterson, who was thought to be the lock to be the coach. They interviewed him, and what happened after they interviewed him? They called Hugh Jackson. They arranged a meeting with Tom Coughlin. They tried to hire McAdoo.
And Gase.
So just remember that. Yeah. They looked around after they interviewed Doug Peterson. So that should at least tell you a little something.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I don't think that it's mutually exclusive that if you're getting rid of Doug, you have to get rid of Howie. I think Howie is infallible. I don't think Howie's going anywhere.
I don't think that at all. I think you'll find a way out of that, of course.
Peterson's, everyone's like, oh, now the bullseye's finally on Howie. If it doesn't work out, bullshit. Howie, like, just owns the situation. He's not going anywhere. Like, him and Jeffrey, there's something there, whatever. He's not going anywhere. So, at least now, I think he's going to get some time to try and rebuild this. And, again, I don't think Doug Peterson is going anywhere, at least this quickly, but I really do believe that even though there isn't enough talent here, that we have seen enough to be right to be concerned that Doug Peterson is not the person.
Absolutely. I think that it's definitely concerning the last 2 weeks when you don't have your teams prepared.
Well, especially because we keep talking about Carson Wentz, and obviously he's regressed and all that kind of stuff, but I think everyone can agree that there is one person who is the most important person to the future of this franchise, and that's Carson Wentz, and you don't want to waste any time with the wrong head coach, with the wrong guy who is going to develop and cultivate the early part of this guy's career and hopefully lead him into the future. You know, it worries me that if Doug is not the guy.
Oh, yeah. And guess what, everybody? James and I, throughout the entire process, said how bad of an idea this ended up being, right? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then suddenly, everybody's where we were at.
I know.
Before then. And how did we have, I know James isn't doing it as hard, but how are we now defending him to say, like, hold on a second here? How is that happening? Like, you know, you show us the little flashes. Everybody gets excited. You start out 3-0. The Pittsburgh, the whole shebip and shebang that we've gone through literally probably every week that we've been doing the show. And now it's to the point of just like, oh, yeah, Doug Peterson can't coach. I go back to the thing of like, this is exactly what you wanted. You wanted anything else other than, and I'm not saying it's not a Chip Kelly defense or anything else that's in there too, but again, this is what it looks like. It's hard to find the right guys. It's hard to have somebody that's coming in here throughout that turmoil, and I'm sure that everybody was like, no, I'm good. I don't want to be in this part. So, again, Philadelphia might not be the sexiest part where head coaches like to come, and this is what you're going to get stuck with for a while. You're going to have to deal with these things until you build it back up to a point where there's either way too much talent where somebody looks at it and goes, oh, I can definitely get in and do this, or you're the Browns. Like, that's what I'm saying. There's no real in-between there. That's all I'm going with.
I'd like to see, and it was funny because heading into the season, I said that I didn't want Doug Peterson calling plays. I wanted him to focus on the overall head coaching experience because he had never done it. And then after the first two games, I was like, okay, you know, maybe he's okay at this or whatever. Doug Peterson should not be calling plays.
Man, really? That's where we're at?
Yeah, because he's got too much on his mind. He has shown that he can't handle both calling plays and being a head coach in a game as of now until he learns to understand the rest of the stuff. I mean, how much more do we need to
see? Man, we weren't saying that literally about 3 or 4 weeks ago, though.
We were saying,
I don't know about you,
John. The game plan has been good.
Why could he handle it then?
I don't think he did handle it very well. I mean, the timeouts he's been okay with, but
I would say, I don't know. I would say that Doug had been relatively very creative up until the last couple of weeks when there was nobody there.
I think the scheme is creative. I'm saying on the spot, it could be his playbook. It could be his scheme. But I don't think he should be handling those duties in game.
In those decisions. John, do you agree with that at all? You want the play calling going through somebody else?
To Frank Reich, who just got fired from San Diego.
Well, that's the problem. I wish they had
John DeFilippo, maybe.
Yeah, I would let Flip call make play calls for sure.
I'll say this: any offensive coach that is a head coach that gets a job is going to want to call plays, and I totally respect that. Now, you could say Doug's really never called plays, so what the hell? But I honestly don't. I don't see him mismanaging a game. I just see him. Like today, they weren't ready to play. The minute they stepped on the field, it wasn't something that happened in the middle of
But he has mismanaged games.
He
has mismanaged games. He mismanaged the Dallas game. He mismanaged the New York game. You know, we've seen him mismanage games.
Is that because he's called plays or because he's a rookie?
I don't know. But I'm willing to, you know, I think that it certainly doesn't help. It's interesting because if you had a caller make a good, like a point that you don't think about, but like when you watch like Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll coach, like they're really great coaches. They don't have that fucking play thing in their hands. They're not always looking down at that huge. They're just out there coaching. They know their plays. They know what's happening. And maybe it's an early on thing, but like I thought that was a really insightful point. Every time they show Doug Peterson, he's looking down at that fucking monster thing with a million play calls. It's like that can't be like where your head should
be. There's a lot of other head coaches that do that.
It's just an anecdotal point. It's more the point that it just doesn't feel like Doug Peterson can handle it.
Okay, Jason Garrett doesn't call any plays anymore. Is he a good NFL head coach?
It seems like he's a lot better than Doug Peterson right now.
He's got two winning seasons.
You know that, but he's look. You can't take away what he's doing right now. Like,
yes, I can because he
stopped calling plays.
Yes,
yeah, and exactly.
Yeah, and the GM also invested a shitload into offensive line.
Sure,
they got lucky with a rookie quarterback. They have one of the best running backs in the NFL right now. And you have two coordinators that are way better than your head coach. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
well, they're O-core. I mean, like, I think you know I love Marinelli, but you can't say Scott Linehan's a great coordinator.
Well, I shouldn't say that either.
Yeah,
he's a better coordinator than coach, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. Is it a coincidence? Maybe. But is it maybe not a coincidence that Garrett's done a better job since giving up play calling? It could not be.
Yeah.
My point is, I'm just trying to find ways to make it work for Doug, okay?
No, I got you.
Right now, in my mind, Doug Peterson is not the head coach that's going to lead this franchise into the future. He needs to change my mind on that, and I'm trying to think of ways to help this guy. Like, at least in my mind, what we could do, or what he could do, obviously, to do a better job.
Don't you think if that happened, though, and it came, let's just say that happens next week, and the story they go with is Doug Peterson
for next year.
I'm
talking
about going.
I should have clarified that. This season, in my I'm on to 2017.
Okay, all right,
Bill
Belichick,
all right, I'm on okay, to 2017. Right. And in my mind, I said don't fire Doug Peterson after this year. So this is, I'm saying going into next year, that is something I would change.
Maybe my question might still work then, because don't you see especially if this season ends, I guess, like we all think it's going to, and man, oh man, am I going to have to eat a little more crow because I was like,
five and 11.
7.
There's no way that they can, I mean, at worst, they're going to split it 3-3 here, right, fellas?
They might go 5-11.
They may not win more than one or two.
Well, exactly.
They might not win any more games. Yeah. This was the worst team that they play the rest of the way, so.
It's unbelievable.
The Cowboys are going to have everything clinched.
They still might win it, though. Well, not when
Chase Daniels coming in because Wentz is injured with a fucking rib injury or something stupid, or they just shut him down for the year.
Yeah, shut him
down. But John, I'll ask you this then. I guess wouldn't you think that the narrative then, and I guess coming through next season, if they were to take away play calling, would be, see, I told you Doug Peterson can't do this thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's like you said with Jim Schwartz, having an aggressive personality as his defensive coordinator kind of makes you wondered when they did it, because it was like, all right, now you have a guy that really has a presence about him, former head coach, really has that kind of cocky attitude, and you have Doug, who's a little bit more laid back, and I don't really know if that's done a whole lot, but yeah, if you take away the play calling, now everybody's saying, see that? He couldn't handle it. I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that they go that knee-jerk. It's such a big offseason for Howie Roseman, for Doug Peterson, for Carson Wentz to really look and to take a step back and say, well, Jesus Christ, that fell apart. What are we going to do? What do we have to do? What do I have to do? The biggest job this offseason is for them to figure that out when everything calms down. And I don't think they're taking I wouldn't take away the play calling from Doug Peterson. If he wants to do it, he's the head coach. Let him do it.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fair. I mean, and granted, maybe it's colored because I didn't think he should do it coming in. I've always
well, I
had
didn't
that.
Either. So, I didn't even want him hired.
Yeah, me either. None of us did. So, but you know, it's just looking at it. And John, you're dead on. Obviously, like. Look, they're not firing Doug Peterson. Maybe if this team does like lose the rest of their games by like 30 points or whatever, like
maybe you have that conversation
theoretically. But like they're not going to fire Doug Peterson. We are moving forward with Howie and Doug at the locus of power. Howie, Doug, and Jeffrey as the locus of power moving forward. So, John's right. You know, you have to step back and have these guys kind of figure out what happened, what went wrong, and what they need to do to fix this moving into the future. But, you know, to the point about, oh, people saying that, I mean, look, we just use an example where they took away the play calling duties and everything's peachy keen. So I'm not just saying that it's not like it's not something that couldn't happen in my mind. It's not something that is so outlandish that, you know, Doug's never called fucking plays before. Like, why now? Why can he? Like, just because he's never been a fucking head coach above high school football. So just because he's the head coach doesn't mean that, in my mind, he should be allowed to call plays. Like, you know, I'm sorry. Like, why?
Well, I would think at some point, I don't know, like, because he has to do that at some point,
why?
Right? Like, they just have to, because what's the point otherwise,
maybe
I guess.
Maybe he should have done it when he was an offensive coordinator. Oh, wait, he didn't.
yeah, exactly. So,
why do I want him calling my fucking plays?
Let him die on his own sword, and if he comes out next year, and everybody agrees that the team is technically better talent-wise, and he goes 0-4, get rid of him and move on.
Great. But,
hire John DeFilippo to be your next coordinator or whatever that's going down there. Have him take over the interim.
Another year lost.
Well, then, then you know that going forward.
I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of giving away seasons at this point.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess that's the scarier thing is because, like, oh, my God, you got to start through this thing again. And maybe what I'm saying is inevitable anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe what I'm saying is like, you know what, you got to give this guy time. But if I'm really just talking about, whatever, a handful of games, what, 7-8 more games, like combining both seasons and back-to-back, then maybe you just kind of move on and do this thing. But I really do think that the biggest issue in the room is and was and still is talent.
I agree.
It really, really is. And I think that there's, if you had anybody functional on offense, it would be a whole completely different story. And without a rookie quarterback, it too. I mean, like, I think if... I don't, well, I shouldn't even say that now. I don't even know. Sam Bradford's probably 5-7 too. Like, everything that's going through here is terrible. They need pass catchers. They need lots of different things. But they need one thing to change on offense, and I think we all have a different opinion. Honestly, I really think that's what it comes down to. But John, we're gonna take it away with. I mean, like, we could. The whole game's a big wet fart. So there's no game balls that are probably going to be out here today.
No.
But any final closing thoughts on anything here, bud?
Yeah, if it might make people feel better out there. Chip Kelly now in his last 30 games is 8-22. So,
how about that?
Chipster, ooh. Maybe when Helfrich called you, you should have said, you know what, maybe that Oregon job does look pretty good after all, because they lost again today in San Francisco, or in Chicago. And
Kaepernick got benched.
Yeah.
He got benched. He threw the ball four or five times the entire game.
He got 4 yards passing for
Colin
Kaepernick.
Yeah, I know. But it was snowing this week.
I don't care.
It was snowing.
Wait, if Matt Barkley had more passing yards, we've all seen how shitty Matt Barkley is. I mean, come on.
But just remember this real fast, that Jeffrey Lurie also, and we'll talk about this later on because we're reacting to a game, but, you know, Jeffrey Lurie is at the top of this food chain because he's the one that's hiring Howie Roseman and every coach and getting his hands involved in a lot of different things. So just keep that in mind as the Eagles continue to turn here, that Jeffrey Lurie, it's always been a, you know, he did V.I. Vrchowski and he did the Eagles. And you know, V.I. Vrchowski didn't work out very well.
So. I've said that before. I'll agree with you there. I you know, he was a movie producer, but that's neither here nor there. I've got a totally different random thought because fuck the Eagles, fuck that game, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. And this is something that I can't believe in all the podcasts we've done. I've never brought this up, but it is, I think, maybe my biggest pet peeve in sports coverage these days. When you're watching Fox or CBS, which you should watch Red Zone anyway, but, you know, when your team's on, don't show me a game update of a touchdown that happened 45 minutes ago. Why can they never show me something that happened a minute or two or five ago? It's always something that I know exactly what happened, and other things have already happened in that game.
The Packers touchdown they show is literally from an hour before.
It's so outrageous in our world of media coverage where we can stream anything, do anything, all live, whatever, that it is so ridiculous to me, and it makes me so angry every time, and I can't believe I've never run.
Yeah, because the only caveat to that is, unless it's a dude throwing a dildo in Buffalo, yeah. I want to see that as many times as possible.
Over and over and over again, on a loop, on just a constant loop.
Keep it, yeah. Can you imagine that? Let's go to Pam Oliver for a game break. Well, fan throws a dildo out on the touchdown. I'll watch that pretty much every single time. I think I let out all the frustration. To that point, at some point, media, sports media especially, actually just everything that has a sport that is televised on it, let go. Stop paying for the rights of the SEC and letting them control you. It is over. You're all losing subscribers. I get very frustrated when I have a cable package that costs me $180 a month, and I cannot stream the Big Ten championship game through your goddamn app, which is supposedly Fox Sports Go, but it's actually Fox Don't Go or Don't Watch Us or whatever it is. Like, let go and allow your subscribers to finally just go to you, and we will come. Let go. Whatever contracts that you're about to re-up on, don't do it anymore. Let us come to you. We will be there. It's inevitable. For the love of God, we live in just everywhere in media. It's changed now. Catch up with the times, please and thank you. For John Barchard and James Seltzer, and of course, our good friend Johnny Marks, as always, thank you, brother, for joining us on episode number 209 of BGN Radio right here on BleedingGreenNation.com and BGNRadio.com.
That worked. 1, 2, 3. John, give us a quick mic check. Or mic or headphone check.
Hey, I plan on I'm not gonna yell and scream. But doesn't mean I'm gonna be happy and nice about things. I'm not.